This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross. Mike White is an actor and writer whose best-known work is the Jack Black film School of Rock, which he wrote and appeared in as Ned Schneebly, Jack's timid roommate. White's other screenplays include The Good Girl, Nacho Libre, Orange County, and Chuck and Buck, which he also starred in. White's also written episodes of several TV series, including Freaks and Geeks and Dawson's Creek. White made his directorial debut earlier this year with Year of the Dog, a film he also wrote, starring Molly Shannon, Peter Sarsgaard, John C. Reilly, and Laura Dern. It's out on DVD later this month. I spoke to Mike White in April, when Year of the Dog opened in theaters. The film features Molly Shannon as Peggy, a single office worker whose closest relationship is with her pet beagle, Pencil. That is, until he dies unexpectedly. She's crushed by the loss of her companion, so a neighbor she's barely spoken to before, played by John C. Reilly, asks her out to dinner. Here they are at a restaurant.
So you were saying you had a dog who died when you were young?
Tessie, I love that dog. I had her since she was a puppy. We did everything together. She's my right-hand bitch. Sorry, I mean, in the dog way of being a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she died way too young. She was only six.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did she die?
I shot her in Wyoming. You want some more wine?
Wait, what do you mean?
It was an accident. A hunting accident.
Oh.
I still feel terrible.
What were you hunting?
Hunting moose. Mooses. They got a lot of moose up there. Don't worry about it. You ever been hunting?
No.
Can be a rush. But, you know, accidents do happen. And, a gun is a very powerful weapon. I learned that the hard way. That's why I never keep guns in my house.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Just knives.
Well, Mike White, welcome back to Fresh Air. Well, Molly Shannon is at the center of this story. Is it true that you wrote this script with her in mind?
Yeah. I had the inspiration for the movie was I had, was doing this TV series for Fox. It was a half-hour sitcom with Molly and Jason Schwartzman called Cracking Up that was like a short-lived disaster. And it was one of those things where, like, just constant fighting with the network, never a moment of peace, just one of those really bad professional experiences. And I was just sort of overstressed and underslept, and over the Christmas breaks where sometimes you try to catch up on scripts, I had this stray cat who lived behind my house who sort of unexpectedly died on me one day. It was like on Christmas Day, actually. And I didn't even know I was that attached to the cat, but I was so sort of emotionally kind of unhinged by this cat dying. And I ended up writing the like most depressing half hour of that show. And the network hated more than the other stuff I had already been doing, and ended up getting even more behind. And it was just like basically the show shut down. And I really think if that cat hadn't died, it wouldn't have had such a sort of profoundly depressing end. And when the dust settled on it, I looked back and I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting life experience. And you know, the thing was, one thing I'd gotten was I just had such a great time with Molly. I just felt like it's like, you know, when you make a movie or you have a TV series, you feel like you're throwing a party and you invite all these people to your party and you tell them it's going to be fun. And then it turns out not to be fun and it just goes on forever. And it was just one of those things where I was like, I'd like to throw a party for Molly where it actually was fun and we had a good time and it turned out good.
Right. So the story kind of revolves around people, adults who are in some ways obsessed with their pets. Was there something about that idea that connected to Molly Shannon?
Well, not so much the pets, but I do think that like there's just sort of an innocence about Peggy and a sweetness. And the thing about Molly is she's kind of preternaturally like positive. There's just something like she just has like a such a she's just such a kind, like she's so giving as just a, in communication and in life. And I just thought, you know, people think of her as like the girl who's like sniffing her armpits and falling over bleacher chairs from Saturday Night Live. And right. I just, you know, it's like there's just such a there's such a sweet warmth to Molly. And I just wanted to create a character that she got to show some of those colors to.
You know, you've covered a lot of different subject areas when I look at the body of work that you've written. But it seems to me that a lot of your central characters are sort of on the fringe of worlds they inhabit, sort of restless, dissatisfied people. Were you like that growing up?
Well, I definitely relate to somebody who feels like their interests or their persona or whatever is somehow outside of the mainstream, and that the sort of conventional world is something that they feel slightly alienated from. And so I tend to like to write characters that kind of, you know, whether by their passion or their goals or who they are, sort of are subverting the status quo or the world they're in.
Right. Now, you went to Wesleyan University and were lucky enough to get writing work in Hollywood pretty quickly, did a lot of television work. And then in 2000, you wrote and started in Chuck and Buck, which is this film where you play Buck, this guy in his 20s who's sort of has the social development of a 12-year-old and who's trying to reconnect with his childhood friend Chuck. And here is a scene where Buck, who's the kind of socially studied guy, visits Chuck in his office. I think we have a clip.
After you left, I didn't really get into school at all, you know? I didn't like the other kids so much. All the homework and sports just wasn't fun. It's weird you have this office. What are you doing here?
Sign bands and produce and negotiate contracts. It's not all that interesting.
That's funny. That's really funny. Because you remember we used to play games like we were businessmen. Remember we bought all those office supplies? And now you're like really doing it. Is it real now or is it still like a game?
It's pretty real.
And that's my guest, Mike White, along with Chris Weitz in the film Chuck and Buck, which Mike White wrote and starred in. You know, in this film, Chuck, the kind of more socially stunted of the two, is sexually attracted to his old friend, but kind of sees sex as an adolescent does, and he sort of becomes a stalker. What's interesting about this film, I know that you didn't direct it and didn't do the casting, but you ended up playing the lead, and you inhabit this role so completely convincingly that I wonder if it sort of followed you and people assume it's in some way autobiographical.
Well, I did get a lot of that when the movie first came out, and you know, certainly the first, it was a weird thing to, you know, have your first movie and be in it and be sort of recognized to be that character and have all of those sort of, I don't know, assumptions or questions that come with that. But, you know, in a way, it was a really creatively liberating, because when you have, once you kind of like jump out of the airplane and have that kind of real sense of just like, gosh, you know, all these people either think I'm crazy or I'm this character. It just sort of like you realize you can't control that, and you know, you'll never win the popularity contest in a sense. So you can kind of just give up that goal and just kind of pursue the stuff that makes it, you know, that's meaningful to you.
Did it open doors for you, this film?
Yeah, weirdly. I mean, it was like one of those movies that, like, when I wrote it, you know, and said I was going to make it, I mean, people would read the script and say, not only do I not want to, like, you know, give you the money to make this, but I think you really shouldn't make this. Don't make this movie kind of thing. So it was interesting that when you actually, you know, once it was made and we put it out there, that, you know, it was a movie that, you know, kind of seems to have stuck around. And certainly it did open doors for me in terms of, you know, people you know, screenwriters suffer from anonymity, I think, in a sense. And whether, even if, like, you know, people think maybe I'm a crazy stalker, at least they recognize me and can identify me with the work that I do. And that has certainly been helpful in some sense in this
right.
business.
A lot of people know your film, School of Rock, which you also wrote, and which stars Jack Black as this out-of-work rock musician who, desperate for money, gets a gig as a substitute teacher in a private school, and then kind of uses the kids to create a rock band which he can star in. Where did that idea come from?
Well, I was living next door to Jack for a few years and became friendly with him, and sometimes he would give me scripts that people, you know, that had been offered to him. And, you know, I wasn't really in the big sort of comedy rewrite world or whatever, but I kept reading these scripts and I was like, you know, I could write something for him that would be more. The fact that, like, I don't have a very long sort of rock musical education, because, you know, we had sort of more, you know, gospel and Christian music in our house. And so I think people think, since I've written School of Rock, that I'm some sort of rock aficionado, and there's actually huge gaps in my rock education.
Well, after School of Rock, you did another film with Jack Black that was a vehicle for his energy, called Nacho Libre, where he plays Ignacio, who is a cook in a monastery that's raising orphans in Mexico, and then decides to adopt a secret life as a wrestler in the Lucha Libre contest so he can afford fresh ingredients for his orphans' meals. Where did this idea come from?
Well, I was working on this script with Jared and Jerusha Hess. Jared directed Napoleon Dynamite, and they wrote it, that movie, together. And the three of us got together, and, you know, Jared was really excited about writing a movie about Mexican luchadors for Jack. So we, you know, I don't know, we spent a few weeks in Salt Lake City and kind of came up with this story. It was one of the best sort of, or the most fun collaborative experiences I've had.
Let's hear a clip. Here, Jack Black as Ignacio has come upon a bunch of the orphans that he cares for wrestling, and Sister Encarnacion tells them they can't do this and wants Ignacio to explain to the kids why wrestling is bad.
Orphans, listen to me. Listen to Ignacio. I know it is fun to wrestle. A nice pile drive to the face, or a punch to the face. But you cannot do it. Because it is in the Bible not to wrestle your neighbor.
So you've never wrestled?
Me? No, come on, don't be crazy. Listen, I know the wrestlers get all the fancy ladies, and the clothes, and the free creams and lotions. But my life is good. Really good. I get to wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and make some soup. It's the best. I love it. I get to lay in a bed by myself all of my life. It's fantastic.
And that is Jack Black as Ignacio in the film Nacho Libre, written by our guest Mike White. You know, this seems like an idea that really could miss. And, you know, you have, like, Jack Black here. He's, you know, has this accent. And was there ever any concern that you'd be seen as sort of showing the cultural sensitivity of the Frito Bandito?
Well, I mean, because the idea came to me through Jared, I was concerned, and certainly Jack was concerned about all of that. But, you know, Jared is such a real deep fan of this world, and, you know, he's a Mormon and spent years in South America on his mission, and speaks fluent Spanish, and is just a real sort of, like, you know, diehard fan of the luchador culture and South American cultures, and it just felt like it was coming from such a pure place, you know, even though his stuff is sort of twisted and, like, he does have a sort of absurd take on humanity. It didn't feel like it was sort of playing on stereotypes. It felt like there was just something more interesting about where the humor was coming from.
Well, Mike White, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, cool. Thanks for having me.
Director Mike White recorded in April. His film Year of the Dog is out on DVD later this month. This Sunday marks the 30th anniversary of the death of Groucho Marx. We'll end this half with his recording of Lydia the Tattooed Lady from the 1939 film At the Circus, with music and lyrics by Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air.
Lydia, oh Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia the Tattooed Lady. She has eyes that folks adore so, and a torso even more so. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the queen of tattoo. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia. When a robe is unfurled, she will show you the world if you step up and tell her where. For a dime, you can see Kankakee.